many things beyond the Fox Theater, and then we're going to turn right around and get in depth about the Fox Theater. So we begin with the assistant symphony's assistant conductor, Jorge Luis Uzguetiki. Good morning, Jorge.
Good morning, Brian.
And you've already been there. You already had a fine time on Monday evening, I gather, doing the Comstock concert. Talk about doing it when there was no smoke in the way and you could just really celebrate and have a good time doing it.
It was a wonderful day, you know, having the opportunity to play this super popular pieces with a symphony. Mm-hmm. I think the audience had really a treat that day. And again, it was wonderful to have a good one where we could play everything that we programmed.
Yeah, and you have so many things. Give a quick overview of about four or five of your primary things in your job description. One is to conduct that concert, but talk about the other conducting and then we'll move toward music in the page.
Well, I mean, this year I have to conduct the educational concerts, mm-hmm. Which are actually happening in February and March, and also the Nutcracker events, mm-hmm. All of the events with like the collaborations we do with the Native American communities.
Yeah, that's a really lovely tradition, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I had the chance to do it this past year as well, and it was great. And you know, I actually was talking to Eckert about it a couple of days ago. And this year, because there's this surge, I actually get to conduct more concerts than any other conductor, you know, for the symphony, which is kind of cool, you know?
And that's why you're here.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you'd want to do. And then we move into Music Innovates, which is what, about 4 years old?
It is. We're starting our fourth year.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And go ahead and describe it to somebody who knew nothing about Music Innovates.
Yes, well, Music Innovates is a partnership between the public schools, the Spokane Public Schools, and the Spokane Symphony, in which the Spokane Symphony provides the education. And we hire teachers from the community and go into the school. We go to Glover Middle School, and we teach from Mondays to Thursdays, 2 days, 2 hours per day, 4 days a week.
Right, as an after-school program.
After-school program, correct. And this year, I'm actually going to be providing a fifth day. I will be conducting a rehearsal, and that we're hoping to get, you know, the kids to get pizza on that special day that, you know, because it's... The school has an early release on Friday, so whenever there's no early release, then I'll be coming and working with the kids. Of course, we're working on the details of making that happen, but that's one of the attempts that we're doing to make it even better this year, adding that fifth day. And and basically, the school district provides the instruments, provides the location, provides the facilities, and it's a wonderful opportunity for kids of all different backgrounds to be able to play classical music at a high level.
Aiming at what age level?
Goes from all the way from third grade to eighth grade. We have like 12 schools involved, but we accept people from, you know, kids from first grade or older, you know. So very flexible. The whole point is be able to accommodate anybody who has an interest to play an instrument.
And 3 years ago, you started with one elementary school, Holmes Elementary.
We started with one, exactly, and one classroom, yeah. One fifth grade and sixth grade, and that was it. And now we are obviously getting bigger, and our hope is this year making it a very special one. You know, we want to have another concert at the Fox at the end of the year, and we also want to provide it being more rigorous, like making the kids play at a higher level so that we can, you know, make a pitch to the community and hoping to expand to many more schools.
And then Erica Richardson, who is, we'll talk later about your new job as associate concertmaster, but move in a little bit and talk about, you joined Music Innovates last year, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell me what that was like to go in and what do you do for them?
Well, I began initially as one of the instructors, one of the upper string instructors, and I immediately realized that this was a very special program, a unique opportunity to teach music to many children at once. We teach in groups, and we give them the opportunity to play in a full orchestra, which is very different than private lessons, than your typical after-school program. And so I immediately love teaching all of these kids, and last summer I got the opportunity to become the coordinator of Music Innovates. So now I do both. I coordinate, and I still get to teach the kids, which is wonderful. So it's been a great experience to be a part of this program.
And so the two of you who have leadership roles in Music Innovates, so let's spend a minute or two on the challenges, on the problems. What are some of the challenges just within the kids and their ability to get there and the consistency, and how's this all working from either of you? Is it pretty problem-free, or are there gnarly little things to worry about?
Well, I think one of the things that makes this program so wonderful, but also difficult on a daily basis, is that we're absolutely flexible to try and meet the needs of every kid that is involved. And we accept children that want to join throughout the school year, which means that you may have a class that gets to a nice level by the middle of the year, and then you get a couple kids that want to join middle of the year, and they're not at the same level. And so it means that the teachers have to be absolutely flexible and creative in order to make sure every kid's need is constantly being met. So I think that flexibility is really key to keeping the education at a high level. But I think we do a great job, you know, being as creative as we can to meet all of those needs. And
yeah, I was just going to develop on that. Like, we have such great, faculty, mm-hmm. let's say that. And all of our teachers, again, they you know, they're such wonderful, not just musicians, but people, you know, and they adapt to this kind of situations, because for us it's a social project first, and then of course we do it through music, which mm-hmm. is the key, and allowing these kids this opportunity, regardless of where they're coming from. You know, our motto is, you know, we want them to play. We don't want them to wait until next year so that they can actually get an instrument and play. If we can teach them now, mm. we want to teach them to be passionate about what we're passionate about, and immediately you see the results. Mm.
And that's your background in it with El Sistema.
Correct.
That when you say it's social project first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we move to the big elephant in the room, you know, what the price of success. Because aren't there ongoing challenges just in funding this thing and keeping it going? Talk about the worries of if it's too successful.
Well, I think we receive a lot of support from the community. We are very blessed to have the Spokane Symphony, you know, being the motor next mm-hmm. to the Spokane Public Schools. You know, that in itself provides this program with everything they need to at least get it started. Naturally, you know, the more we do receive a lot of donations and a lot of support from different other institutions, too many to name right now. But we are very grateful to all the support that we receive. Mm-hmm. But of course, this year, like I mentioned earlier, we want to make sure we find a good way to make more kids in Spokane receive this opportunity. Because I don't know any parent that has come to any of our concerts that hasn't come to me after to tell me, how can I join? How can my school become part of Music Innovates? It's mm-hmm. a matter of having everybody finding ways to make it happen.
Yeah, Music Innovates, which is this this program that the symphony started. And Erica, for either of you, are the teachers all Spokane Symphony members?
No.
Okay. Talk about the range of the teachers.
Some of our teachers are Spokane Symphony members, and some are not. We love to be able to give the kids the best teacher for the circumstance. You know, some of our kids are coming from more difficult home lives, and we've served some of the most underserved schools in the Spokane area. But we also have, you know, kids from, you know, wonderfully affluent families. And so the thing that's very special about it is it's really an integration where the kids come to this very supportive, positive place and become a part of this orchestra family. And they have so much fun with that. But we definitely try and find our teaching artists to be able to deal with these big groups of kids and varying circumstances, like I was mentioning before, to be able to best serve the kids.
I'm guessing are a few of them maybe some of the veteran teachers who are maybe retired from their public school jobs and they have a lifetime of skills to use in that?
Yes, we actually get a lot of volunteers, you know, like retired teachers and younger students that help out. To answer your question, yes, we try to hire teachers that have a lot of experience in this kind of situations, like mm-hmm. Erica was explaining. But we also One thing that makes the program so special is that there are so many people that believe in the mission of our program that they volunteer their time, and they're willing to come, retired musicians, and you name them, you know, that come often to help out, to make the situation possible. For instance, you know, in a classroom where you have 30 students and there's certain students that need special attention, that's not possible when you are working by yourself. So when you have this type of volunteering cases, it really helps give each kid the individual attention that they deserve. And that's why, you know, getting all the support from the community, not just financially, but, you know, also musically, it's so important for us.
And come back to Erica and your interesting progress, because when you and I talked 2 years ago, you had just kind of blown into town, I think, for some family reasons. You had your violin with you. You got into the symphony and said, well, I think I'll just kind of check out the symphony and do it. And now here you are, the associate concertmaster. You're the administrator of Music Innovates. Talk about your journey of the last 2 years, your journey of, I gather, a certain amount of self-discovery, isn't it even?
Yeah, certainly. It's been a wonderful couple of years. I've been really happy to be in Spokane. It's proved to be a wonderful city, and with a lot of opportunity in the arts and a lot of support, a lot of people with such positive outlooks on the arts that it's been a wonderful place to stay. And so, I've been very happy working in Music Innovates. It's a very special thing, I think, as a musician. It's so important to, I've always felt the responsibility to be as generous as I can with my music, because it can't exist in a vacuum, and it really does nothing for the community if we're just practicing by ourselves in our practice rooms. So I think Music Innovates has been a key thing to feel the ability to give to more people. And of course, that wouldn't be possible without the symphony, and the symphony is a wonderful place to be able to perform every day. I love to perform. That's why I started in music, and I've always loved playing the violin, but it's always wonderful to get up and play those big pieces. And so it's been a wonderful experience to be able to have these opportunities here in Spokane.
And talk about your new job, moving from the back of the second violin section to sitting next to Mateusz.
It's been wonderful so far. I just had my first couple concerts in that chair this past weekend with the Comstock and the Ruby Lake Labor Day concerts, and it's very fun. It's wonderful. Mateusz is such a positive, wonderful leader for the symphony, for the community, and he's a first-rate violinist, fantastic. And I certainly feel a responsibility to in sitting there, and I'm very excited to continue.
What does the associate concertmaster do other than turn the pages at the right time?
Well, that's first. That is an important thing, to turn the pages correctly. You have to be absolutely prepared as if you're playing concertmaster itself. If something were to happen to Mateusz, God forbid, if he got sick at the last minute, somebody has to step in, and that would be me at this point. So being absolutely prepared and ready to take on anything that comes your way in that position.
What have you done as leadership things? Have you, like, and were you the concertmaster of your college orchestra and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had a decent amount of experience actually in my upbringing, sitting in that position, and some professionally as well, but certainly not in a full season orchestra. So yeah. This is exciting.
So therefore, and you're like several people in the orchestra, that you do enough other jobs for the orchestra that you kind of make a living, right? I mean, we think of the second horn player, who's also the equipment, you know, who also does the stage setup, and people that have these internal jobs. I guess there's a few of those, but what can we say right now? There's going to be several new faces in the orchestra, aren't there? In various places, I don't know exactly who, but we're gonna see some new faces, aren't we?
Yeah, we have a handful of new members this season. Yeah, so it's very exciting.
We'll meet them as they happen. Yeah. Erica Richardson, who's the new associate concertmaster of the symphony, and Jorge Uzguerki, who's the assistant conductor. And as you say, you're going to be conducting more than any other single conductor. And that must feel good, because you've dutifully waited and watched, and it's kind of your turn now, isn't it?
It's wonderful. I mean, I've always felt that it's such a wonderful opportunity to be so close, you know, during the classics, for instance, you know, to see how everything happens in a very diligent way in 5 rehearsals. Then, of course, it is my turn, and when it's my turn, I have to make sure that we get it all the repertoire in one rehearsal most of the time. Mm-hmm. And you know, and in this case, it's a bunch of those, you know, a bunch of one rehearsal cases, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also very looking forward to everybody else. I'll be able to now work with a lot of different conductors, not just Eckhart and Morihiko.
That'll be a very interesting one.
It would be super interesting to see not just, you know, their level of musicianship, but like their rapport with the orchestra. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to know the orchestra now for a few years, it will be very interesting to see the reaction between them and the other conductors.
Yeah, that will be fascinating. And Erica, as you, over the last couple of years, in your violin playing, have you taken on any particular recitals or projects, or just practiced your orchestral music, or just have you done any studying? What have you done in your violin playing since we last talked?
I always try and do as much as I can, keeping myself busy and playing music that's not only in the Spokane Symphony season. I am from LA originally, and so I have oftentimes several performances down in LA, and I've continued my relationship with some mentors of mine, and I've had the opportunity to play as a soloist internationally a couple times, and it's been really wonderful to have these opportunities and continue working as far as I can as outside of the symphony as well.
Nice. Do you got a for instance, one or two interesting things you've done outside of town in the last couple of years?
I played in Ukraine last year.
Really?
It was a wonderful experience.
As a soloist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a wonderful experience. And I've, like I said, I've been in LA quite frequently playing concerts.
You have kind of a regular mentor there?
Yes, I have a couple of people that I work with frequently, and I've kept in close touch with my mentors from my schooling as well.
Which school was that?
I went to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh last, and I was in Peabody before that.
Okay, yeah, so the other side of the country.
The other side of the country,
yeah,
yes.
Good.
Working my way back
west. Well, you brought your violin. Nice. What do you have for us?
I have the Grave from the A minor Bach Sonata.
Okay, well, take your time in getting there and go to the studio, and we're about to get a live performance from Erica Richardson, whom one of the two people we've been talking to about these issues of the other things that the symphony does. Even as she does that, talk just briefly, Jorge, about the outreach, the concerts you do in February and March.
Well, February and March are the school, the fourth grade concerts. We do 4 of them at the Fox Theater. Mm-hmm. And then I believe there is like approximately 6,000 kids, from 5,000 to 6,000 kids that come to these concerts. And we present them an overview of, you know, the classical top hits, you know, I like to call it that. And we call it like the time machine, the musical time machine, because they go through the Baroque all the way to the modern music. We end up we go from music from Bach and end with music of like Star Wars,
nice.
You know, and then we repeat that program in Coeur d'Alene so that the kids in Idaho also get the chance to listen to the symphony. This is one of my favorite concerts to conduct, because it's the moment when we are able to reach so many kids that would be future players, future musicians, you know, and we get them excited. And for me also, it's a good way for them to be aware that the symphony also does Music Innovates, and they could actually learn an instrument if they want to by joining us. And this year also, we have the I have the opportunity to conduct one of the Baroque series concerts.
Oh, great.
And so, I mean, it's going to be a wonderful season, that's for sure.
Well, let's go to our studio and ask Erica to play this movement of the A minor sonata. Bach, played live in our studio by Erica Richardson. That was that movement of the A minor sonata of J.S. Buck. Erica Richardson, the new Associate Concertmaster of the Spokane Symphony, Jorge Luis Gedecky, the Assistant Conductor of the Symphony, who have been our guests in this first half hour of Symphony Week.